Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Tell us a little bit. I mean, obviously, there was a lot about the police and the retirement and stuff like that. Can we talk about a little bit about what they were given previously in 2019? It was 2019, right? Talk a little bit about that and then what's ending. Just give us a little background.
So the president of the Buffalo Police Department, or the head of the PBA, the president, John Davidson, explained to the council that right now officers are operating under a current understanding when it comes to their health care, but that if a new contract is ratified, then ultimately it would lead to an exodus of officers who desire, that can retire, but desire to have and operate and retire under the current MOA when it comes to health care. And so the word that I keep using is the word collision, because the fact is that this issue could lead to a spiral effect where officers retire because they're frightened that they're going to either have to pay more into their health care, or that a new contract could not be favorable in retirement. And then that leads us to lower staffing levels than what is currently mandated. That could lead to a skyrocketing in an overtime. And then ultimately we have an HR practice that sets out a new test in February, a class that would go into next August, and those officers would be sworn into in January 2027. So we could see this disjointed process leading to a huge issue when it comes to police officers that will retire in anticipation that they will lose something that they currently have.
And what is it that they'll be losing? Do you know that specifically?
Their current operation of what they pay into their healthcare costs. So if a retiree can retire, they're going to want to retire under what their current condition is now, not in a new contract that could be less favorable because of a multitude of factors.
Isn't there the possibility that they could negotiate in the new contract for what they are receiving now?
They potentially could. I don't think that that's the position that maybe the management or the union hold. It's going to be a new contract that the new administration is going to have to really look at. You know, do we have to negotiate a one-year contract with all of our bargaining agreements because we can't come up with contracts that are 3 years out because we're at a structural deficit and we can't even plan for 3 years to operate our municipality, let alone what we can guarantee officers in a collective bargaining agreement.
And it's something that could be extended. Is this something the city council or common council could
So the current
administration and a future administration that happens in January could submit to the council an extension of this. And so that's why it was so important to have the president of the PBA come in to explain this so that council members know what is potentially happening and that this could lead to officers in an exodus that we can't refill due to civil service requirements in the pool of applicants that we currently have.
They were saying you have until June, right? But you don't really have until June because people are going to start to time out and check out before then. So it's kind of imperative that you do it quickly, but you won't be able to even do much of anything until June.
Correct. And then when we ultimately look at that they're operating out of a contract, this MOA is the one thing that is holding what they currently have, and that once a new contract is or potentially settled, that it leaves these officers not in the position that they want, and they are probably too frightened to stay on so that they retire.
What do you feel potentially needs to be done in terms of recruitment if this is a possibility? And you may mention that, you know, this upcoming class, if they are going through it and then they graduate, that it won't be till January 2027 where they're sworn in. But I mean, what more does the city need to do to try to avoid this, whether it be recruitment or, you know,
so, yeah, so I'm going to gripe for a little bit because I think that there's a lot of things that come into play in here. And yes, someone can look at the starting salary as $57,000 and say that's a good salary. Well, when you look at rent, that's basically $1,100, $1,200, $1,300, and you're saying, these new recruits are saying, can I take this paycheck home and even pay my rent? So the dynamics of this of living in the city of Buffalo have changed. You know, with the council that has to, you know, hear that they, we had 20 people show up for an agility test and two passed out of 20, wow. We really have to garner new practices that are getting into community colleges or partnering with colleges to get a pool of applicants that, that ultimately want this position and serve the city of Buffalo as a police officer. And it's tough terrain out there to get folks to then apply. And then by the time you can, they apply and they get through the system, it's a year. So we live in a very fluid world where people oftentimes can't just sit home and wait a year for a career. So we have to line up better civil service tests, academies, to start filling and retaining talent in the Buffalo Police Department.
Now, I was just in the airport recently, and there was signs. ICE is offering a $50,000 sign-on bonus for officers. Is there something like that that the city could do? Maybe not $50,000, it's a lot of money. Even a financial sign-on bonus, something like that.
I think that the city is going to have to look at all options, but we have to balance that with our current fiscal position, which is tough. So the way I look at it is there's a short-term game that the city of Buffalo's in, and then there's a long-term one. And to be able to effectually change the retention and recruitment of future police officers, we have to look at what we can do immediately, but what we have to do in the long-term to then retain. Because when you're talking to young folks that are taking these tests, they might not be looking at the health care. They might be looking at the starting salary because their economics are so much different for, number one, rent, being a renter in the city of Buffalo, and then even wanting to purchase a home in the city of Buffalo. So we have to make sure that those numbers are somewhat commensurate so that they can then work for the city of Buffalo and live here. But then ultimately, when you look at retirees, retirees are looking at the health care. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at their health care premiums. Let's also put this into focus. We are in a federal government shutdown, and a large talking point that is keeping this government held down is healthcare premiums. So I'm looking at, and then we'll have further information as I work with the departments in 2 weeks, is what does that mean for the local municipalities? Are we going to be paying higher premiums for our own employees? So, you know, what I'm looking forward to, especially with potentially with a new administration, is what looks better for the city. Would you rather see an increase in healthcare costs in the healthcare line and then not in raises? We have to come up and quantify this and what is the most fiscally responsible for the city in unison with our workforce, because right now we're at a position where we're gonna face low staffing shortages in the Buffalo Police Department.
What role does the Common Council play in these decisions of how much retirement costs, healthcare costs at retirement and starting pay?
So the Common Council is the appropriating and approving body. So ultimately, the administration would have to send these contracts that would have to be ratified by this council. And then ultimately, when it comes to operations and operating the city budget, we ultimately have the power through a series of amendments to amend a future mayor or current mayor's budget.
Got it.
Mitch, you had the chair for the Citizens Planning Council come in and talk about elements of the 2026 capital budget, and it seemed that a lot of the council members disagreed with a number of the elements that were or maybe weren't included, you know, improvements to some community centers. Just take us through, I guess, the meeting today in terms of how that may impact what the comptroller is set to talk about this afternoon.
So the Citizens Planning Council is a group of volunteers that come and scrutinize projects that department heads and council members put. And the frustration among council members is we are the appropriating body of funds. So when the comptroller holds her press conference today at 3 o'clock, you have to, I hope after the court decision, she understands that the council is the function that disposes and passes a budget, and we are the ones that dictate those priorities within a budget. So where the conflict was is the chair of the planning council reiterated their document about how they were able to put and formulate what they believe that they should recommend to us, but council members don't see any of their actual priorities in that document. We're the ones at block clubs every single day. We're the ones getting stopped at grocery stores. We have people coming to our doors. We know what the priorities are of our districts, and we want to pass a budget that reflects those district priorities, since we are the people's representative for 30,000 people apiece, and we know our districts like the back of our hands. So the frustration you saw among council members was that the planning council put forth recommendations that don't align with what the common council wants at all. And we are the ones that have the final authority on a capital budget that has to be passed per the charter by December 15th.
With today's, what the comptroller is going to be talking about, is it essentially just on the 26 budget? Is it elements of the 25 budget that were held up that are going to be included as part of the 26 budget? What exactly is going, to your understanding at least, is going to be as part of this?
I think that she could be talking on a multitude of things. I know that she's, you know, less within 10 days of being able to appeal the decision from the state Supreme Court Judge Emilio Caliacovo. She could be speaking about the Buffalo Public Schools section of the capital budget, the bands that we asked her to take out that are reimbursable from federal and state agencies, and then she could also be opining on the capital budget recommendations that the Planning Council gave for this body this year. But simultaneously, her reluctance to go to the bond market and adhere to our charter has now led to now December, where we could have to go to bond market for two budgets, and that could lead to balloon payments, and it could lead to us finding ourselves in tougher economics next year when we're rebidding out these projects that were already slated and that are going to rise in cost when we go back out to bid.
She's not planning to pull back on what she said earlier, though, like saying that, you know, she's not going to appeal, right? Or is your still understanding that she's not appealing the decision from Justice Caliacovo? Or
I'm going to be listening keenly to 3 o'clock to her press conference, but ultimately I want to state for the record that an appeal would be irresponsible. We had a very clear decision about the powers of the executive and the common council when it comes to a capital budget. We can't have an elected official acting outside of her legal purview to advance an appeal that ultimately would spend more taxpayer dollars to defend and then ultimately leave us into greater injury when we're lining up all these capital budgets that ultimately have to go to bid. And at what point do you have to say, are you doing this because of your ego, or are you doing this because you truly believe that the city is in peril because of going to capital budget, when we're right here, we're working every single day? If I have not heard from the comptroller. The comptroller is welcome to these chambers all the time. She was a former council member. It shouldn't be obscure that we ask her to engage with council members, engage with the mayor, and engage with the finance committee. That should not be unorthodox. It really shouldn't. And I have to push back on that. I find that ridiculous. And ultimately, you know, we have to make our debt obligations every single year. And the deputy comptroller stated, well, we have to get a tax levy to pay for our capital budget. We know the common council knows how to pay for the capital budget. The fact is that we're saying is that we have to operate government. We don't get the ability to say no new fire apparatuses, we're not paving your road. Regardless of what is happening financially, we have to pass a capital budget that does improvements on the behalf of the city every year, and we have to operate the city. And even in tough times, we have to do that. So there's a lot of ways that people are talking about how we can get out of our financial situation. I know that the comptroller is going to try to correlate the current financial position that we are in now into our capital budget, but arguably we've been in this operating budget where we're using other people's money to fill budget holes for 6 years and for as long as she's been the comptroller. So I can't put up with enough where it's getting foolishness, where we're going around in circles about this.
So going into next year's capital budget then, are you concerned that this might be a cycle again of what we saw this past year in terms of a hesitancy to issue some of these bands and some of these capital bonds in order to get projects done?
I originally had that apprehension, but after reading the court ruling, it's clear. I had standing in the argument where the comptroller interfered with me executing my public duty of passing a capital budget. So I ask that the comptroller adhere to the court ruling from Supreme Court Justice Emilio Caliacovo.
It wasn't brought up today, but the status of the animal shelter moving.
So as you know, and as someone who has been an advocate for the animal shelter and originally arose the issue, I haven't had any official update from the administration about what their plans are. I know that they had a press conference about a potential location. The council's role in that would be to approve a lease or funds for that. Nothing has been submitted to the Common Council. So if nothing happens with this administration, it's going to be incumbent on the next administration to put a plan forward to the council to scrutinize and eventually approve and appropriate funds for a new animal shelter.
Is that going to happen, though, with all the other financial issues?
Operating municipal government is quite literally juggling a bunch of balls every single day. And so I think that's been an excuse for a lot of years. They said, well, we don't have the money. It's not a priority. The fact is that we have to get it done.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.